We're going to complete, if you can believe it, we're going to complete our study of the Amidah this evening. We're going to take a look at the last few blessings. We're going to take a look at the last few blessings, including the Aaronic benediction, which is included in there. And we're going to finish it up. Starting next week, we're going to start a new series called What the Torah Says About Blank, a topical study. I'm going to try and do 10, maybe 12 weeks, and each week's just going to be a different topic. If you remember, I had that kind of that sign-up sheet in the back, and people were putting topics on there that they wanted to learn about. So obviously, I'm not going to be able to get to every topic, and some of the topics were redundant, so I'll be able to group them together. But I'm going to take as much of that input as I can and just build some practical lessons, and we're going to just look at what the scripture has to say. So I'm looking forward to that, and there's something kind of bittersweet about finishing a study. The person who benefits most from a study is the teacher, because as I've been preparing for this, there's been so much that's been illuminated to me, and so much that's been shown to me, and so much that, you know, Hashem has just reminded me of regarding his scripture, and I hope that through this series that you've been able to glean like I have. It's been really enjoyable. So, I'm sorry, I'm not able to put the PowerPoint up here, but we're starting with the 18th of the 19th benedictions, the Thanksgiving. We gratefully thank you, for it is you who are Hashem, our God, and the God of our forefathers for all eternity, rock of our lives, shield of our salvation are you from generation to generation, etc. As we've gone through the Amidah, we've made our requests. Here's our request we've made. We've asked Hashem for insight. We've asked him for repentance. Remember, we've asked him to provide us with the desire to repent, because we can't even in our sinfulness repent on our own. We've asked him for forgiveness. We've asked him for redemption. We've asked him for health and healing, not only for ourselves, but for others. We've asked him for prosperity. We've asked him for the ingathering of exiles. In other words, the protection of God's people as he fulfills his plan for us. We've asked for him to return justice to the earth, because we certainly live in a time of injustice. We've asked for him to foil the plots of heretics, those who would work against his plan, that it would come to nothing. We've asked for the protection of the righteous, including ourselves who are in Yeshua. We've asked for the rebuilding of Jerusalem. We've asked for the coming of King Messiah, the reign of David's son, the king. And we've asked him to accept our prayers. And so now that as we've made our way through our request, we've begun to show our gratitude by asking for the return of the temple service. That was the 17th blessing, what we covered last time I was here. Why do we ask for that? Well, the temple service rather to be reinstated, not as a request, but as an element of our thanksgiving. Because if the temple is standing again, that means we can bring offerings and we can bring sacrifices to him as elements of our thanksgiving. We are asking because we want to give him our praise in a way that we currently aren't able to. I think that's a remarkable thing. You know, as we read through the prophecies through Ezekiel and several others regarding the coming of the Messiah and the rebuilding of the temple and the reinstallation of the temple service, What a remarkable thing that's going to be.
I've tried to envision that.
Yeah. It's very difficult.
I don't know what you think on it, but how is that really possible?
Just logistically?
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows? Yeshua will find a way, and we're going to go, oh, that's how. Yeah. Obviously, not everyone, not every person, but every nation will be represented. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe, and I'm totally just thinking off the top of my head, I don't know if I can justify it, but those of us who are in a glorified state, you know, maybe it'll just work differently. I don't know. So perfect, so precise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's breathtaking. Well, it is the same, isn't it? It is the same. And we are going to get to experience it in such a way where he will physically be there. It's, you know, you can't wrap your head around it. We can't. But needless to say, we're not going to be disappointed. We're not going to go, you know, Yeshua, I really think you should have done it this way. I don't think that's going to happen. So we're now moved fully beyond our requests and we're into pure thanksgiving. And the interesting part is we've just finished our request, so we're thanking him in expectation. We know that he's going to fulfill those things because they're of his mind, they're of his will. We're not asking and, you know, maybe he'll grant these things and maybe he won't. But as we pursue him and he makes us more into the image of Yeshua, these things will be fulfilled. It's a promise. So we thank him in expectation. I got stuck on one phrase in here. And I just looked up a whole bunch of stuff on it. You know, we call him the rock of our lives. It says the rock of our lives, the shield of our salvation. Maybe it's a little poetic or maybe even a little mystical, but the idea, the image of a rock, a physical rock, conjures up so many ideas to me about who Hashem actually is. There's a quote from Etz Yosef, a sage. He says, we call Hashem the rock of our lives because our parents, our physical parents, they're the rocks, quote unquote, from whom our bodies are hewn. But we receive life from Hashem himself. So although we are physical beings, essentially, is what we're saying, we come from our parents in a physical, biological sense. The only reason we have life breathed into us, is because of Hashem. So he is the rock from which we are hewn because we are made in his likeness. And there's so many beautiful scriptures in regard to Hashem being the rock. About Deuteronomy, I'm gonna read a bunch that I just found that were encouraging to me. Deuteronomy 32:4. Calling Hashem the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just, a God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. He's a rock, he's a standard, he stands firm, he doesn't change. 1 Samuel 2:2, there is no one holy like Adonai. Indeed, there is no one besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Incomparable. Anything and everything else can be swayed, can be broken, can be washed away. Not Hashem, our rock. How about this? 2 Samuel 22. This is the Song of David. I would really encourage you to take a look at 2 Samuel 22 on your own. At another time, it's like 52 verses, so I'm not going to read the whole chapter. It's a song David wrote in exaltation, and it's powerful. This is the first 7 verses. 2 Samuel 22, 1 through 7. And David spoke the words of this song to Adonai in the days that that Adonai delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Shaul. He said, Adonai is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. I will call upon Adonai, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. For the waves of death encompassed me, the torrents of destruction overwhelmed me, the cords of Sheol, the grave, surrounded me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called upon Adonai. Yes, I cried to my God, and from his temple he heard my voice, and my cry for help came into his ears. I don't know that I could say it any better or even explain it. So what is a rock? A rock is strong. A rock is solid. A rock is unwavering. A rock weathers storms. It stops rivers, right? You can build a dam out of rocks. You can stop an entire river with some rocks. It forms mountains. A rock can be used to build upon. The foundation of a building is made of stone, essentially, right? Or it can be used to destroy. A rock can be used as a weapon to break other things. Every one of those elements we can point to the character of Hashem. I could go on the rock thing. I get all caught up on that. We used to do this thing when I was involved with Young Life, which was a the ministry organization that introduced me to Yeshua to begin with. It's a high school ministry, and as I got older, I got involved in the leadership and reaching out to other high school kids, and we would have these leadership meetings, and we would have a time of prayer and worship, and in the prayer, it would just be open prayer for the room. There'd be 15 or 20 people in the room, and each person, as they were led, would not pray an entire prayer, but would just say one thing, a title, or something about Hashem. They would say, God, thank you for being my salvation. God, thank you for being my helper. God, thank you for being my provision. And something that I always found myself saying, I would always say Hashem. Well, I wouldn't say Hashem at the time. I'd say, God, thank you for being my rock. That was always very powerful and meaningful to me. No matter what else is happening, no matter what waves are crashing or winds are blowing, he's the rock. He stands firm. He doesn't change, and he doesn't let us down. We shall thank you and relate your praise for our lives, which are committed to your power. For our lives. Another Talmudic quote from Olas Tamid. Lest anyone think he is master over his own life, we acknowledge in this prayer that every breath and heartbeat is a direct result of God's mercy. We are not our own. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from Hashem, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify Hashem in your body. You know, there's two aspects to that, us not being our own. A, we're not our own because he made us. We are his creation. He is dominant over the universe. We are his in that sense. We are not our own. But in a secondary sense, we have been purchased. We have been purchased by Yeshua. His work paid a debt that was ours. He owns us in that way. As we have taken his death upon our own, we are his fully, completely. Not in a, you know, you think of owning people in the sense of slavery. We think of negative things. But he is our benevolent God who owns us because he saved us, because the alternative is death. The alternative is nothingness. The alternative is darkness. He owns us because he loves us. He owns us to bring us close. Our lives are not our own. We should. That's right. That's right. We do. Our flesh does. It will one day. We'll see. We continue with this prayer. And you know, this is the only prayer, I think, that goes on for two slides. It's just a lot, you know. We thank him. We thank him. We want to continue to thank him. And as we put ourselves into a mindset of thankfulness and thanksgiving, it perpetuates. There's so much the scripture has to say about thanksgiving. How about this? It's just a handful of scriptures that marked me. Philippians 4:4-8. Philippians 4:4-8. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Adonai is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to Hashem. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Messiah Yeshua. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. It started with thanksgiving. He said, bring your request to God with thanksgiving, and as a result, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds. It perpetuates. Start with thanksgiving, and he transforms us. 4:4-8. Chapter 4, verses 4-8. Philippians 4:4-8. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 4-8. Yes. 4-8. You got it. I guess I got to work on my enunciation. No, there is no chapter 43 of Philippians. Maybe I'll speak with a Spanish accent. How about this? Psalm 100. That's Psalm 100. Sorry. Verses 1 through 5. Mm-hmm. De nada. A psalm of thanksgiving. The whole psalm. Shout joyfully to Adonai, all the earth. Serve Adonai with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that Adonai himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gate with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for Adonai is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. That says it all right there, doesn't it? That's his character. That's who he is. So as a result of the ultimate truth of who he is, the only response, the only appropriate response we should have is thanksgiving. And that should permeate our whole lives. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and act like I'm perfect at that. I'm certain. Certainly I'm not. But as we come to him in thanksgiving, everything else becomes possible. Everything else we want from him, everything else we want to be because of him, starts with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the key element of prayer. It, along with prayer as a whole, has the power to transform us. When we make ourselves thankful, Hashem changes our attitudes. He changes our outlook. He changes our emotions. He changes our aspirations. Everything about us. To neglect being thankful is to neglect his provision. If we're not thankful, we're not honoring, or we're not even recognizing what he does for us or who he is. We're denying, neglecting his benevolence, his kingship. To be thankful is a sign that we recognize that he is our master, that he is our father who loves us perfectly, that he is our Messiah who saved us completely. We can never run out of things to be thankful for and ways to be thankful to him. So we move on then to the priestly blessing, the Aharonic benediction or blessing from Numbers chapter 6? Yeah. We've studied the Aaronic benediction in the past quite extensively, so I'm not going to spend too much time here. But I am going to offer just a few thoughts. So what does the Aaronic benediction say? May Hashem bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, right? And as we say it in this setting, everyone's response is, so may it be, right? We say it three times, so may it be, so may it be. Let me just, I want to break down those blessings for us. First, this blessing, word for word, was given to us by God. It was a commandment God gave to Moshe to give to Aaron, to give to his sons, the Kohanim, to say over all of Israel. These words, this blessing, blessing is a commandment to be said word for word. He gave us the exact words. Therefore, we can only expect that he desires to do and fulfill all that it mentions. Everything in this blessing is his intention for us. It's the stuff he wants to do. He gave us the words. He's not going to not fulfill it. I think it's Numbers chapter 6. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm thinking Numbers 6 verse 4, but I don't know. Brain fart right now. So what does it mean? What does he want to do then? He wants to bless us, to give us the things we need, to encourage us. He wants, it's not it. I'll find it in a minute. He wants to safeguard us, to build us up against sin and calamity, to keep us from danger. He wants to illuminate his countenance for us. What does that mean? To allow us to get to know him personally and even more intensely, to be our very close father and friend. By the way, normally on Shabbat, we say lift up his countenance upon us. We say make his face shine upon us, right? The image there is of a father holding up his son in the air and looking up face to face, lifting up his face. He lifts us up as our children and meets us face to face with adoration as his children. What else does he want for us? He wants to be gracious to us, to forgive us for our wrongs, to give us what we need to be victorious, to not repeat our mistakes. He wants to turn his countenance toward us, to let us know he's there, to allow us to observe him and to be known by him. And lastly, he wants to establish peace for us, to provide us with strength and comfort and solace through our storms. Do we have storms? Yes. But he will be the rock that we stand on. He wants to lead us to life everlasting. And in this prayer, as we agree with and desire these intentions of his, as we read them and say, yes, I want that, what you want for me, we say amen, which means I agree. Let it be so. We say, so may it be. And we conclude the Amidah then with a prayer for peace. Establish peace, goodness, blessing, graciousness, kindness, and compassion upon us and upon all your people, Yisrael. Bless us, our Father, all of us as one with the light of your countenance. For with the light of your countenance, you gave us, Hashem, our God, the Torah of life and a love of kindness, righteousness, blessing, compassion, life, and peace. And may it be good in your eyes to bless your people, Yisrael, in every season and in every hour with your peace. Baruch atah Adonai, who blesses his people, Yisrael, with peace. Peace is synonymous. It is the same as being blessed by the light of his countenance. Both of those phrases are in there. In other words, experiencing a personal relationship with Hashem as a result of the atoning work of Messiah Yeshua is the definition of peace. You know, there's the bumper sticker. I don't know if you've ever seen it before, a Christian bumper sticker. It says, No Jesus, no peace. And then it says, no Jesus, K-N-O-W, no peace. Meaning, if you don't have him, you'll never know peace. If you do know him, you will have peace. And that's absolutely true. There's no such thing as peace outside of Yeshua. They're one and the same. Isaiah 9:6. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 52:7. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. Isaiah 57, verse 21. This is the opposite. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Who are the wicked? That's Isaiah 57, 21. There is no peace for the wicked, says my God. Of course. What is wickedness? It's synonymous with being unregenerate, unsaved. Of course there is no peace, because the only way to know peace, to have peace, is to know him. He is peace. Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. All of these refer to the coming of the Messiah, by the way. Can't separate the two. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Because of our justification, because of our salvation in Yeshua, we now know peace. It's a simple formula with profound ramifications. Romans 16, verse 20. The God of peace will soon crush Hasatan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Yeshua be with you. He will bring his peace to full fruition, where our adversary will be defeated in that day. Right now we know his peace, but we know his peace in the midst of struggle, right? We live in a world covered and saturated with sin. We live in flesh that is fallen. But one day, our adversary will be crushed under his feet. By whose feet? The God of peace. And lastly, Philippians 4:7 was mentioned already in the last blessing. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Messiah Yeshua. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. Isn't that true? It does surpass all comprehension. No matter what, we will go through trial. We will have questions. We will have tears. But we will never be wiped away. We can stand on the rock who never changes, who's ever strong, who's fully wise, who loves us to the end. And at the end of our blessing, we say, blessed are you, Hashem, who blesses his people, Yisrael, with peace. What a perfect way to conclude our prayer before him. He blesses his people, Yisrael, with peace. Amen. Avinu, thank you so much for this study. Thank you for your word, which you illuminate to us. Thank you for Yeshua, that you've loved us enough to die for us, that you are the God of peace, that you are the rock of our salvation, and that you and all of your character surpass all comprehension. Thank you that you love us and you desire to illuminate your countenance upon us, to allow us to get to know you as you know us. Thank you that you made us in your image. You care for us and you will never let us go. And I pray that as we continue to look into your word in our own lives, you will continue to transform us, make us clean. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen.